First evening, Friday evening, was Rupa Goswami. And there are some newer persons present with us, so a little bit of who is Rupa Goswami before we begin. The Vedic picture of time is that time moves in cycles. And just like it's winter, winter season, and in winter season there's certain predictable, especially in Chicago, certain predictable features. Just like the Kalpa Vriksha tree got frozen in a snowstorm because of in Chicago. And then spring, then summer, then fall. And so the season cycle, day and night cycles, and so forth and so on. The ages of mankind, they cycle. And in the present age of mankind, this is like the winter season of the four ages of mankind, according to the Vedic picture of time. And in this age, the primary means of achieving awakened, fully awakened state of consciousness or perfection of spiritual life is through the chanting of the name, the holy name. That's through Vedic sound, specifically concentrated in the name. So towards the beginning of this age of Kali, this present age of mankind, Krishna personally came in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to give this chanting of the holy name. And he didn't write elaborate teachings. He rather instructed Rupa Goswami and some others what those teachings were and then empowered them to take those teachings and put them in writing. We heard this several times in the course of our time together. So Rupa Goswami is a very, very prominent, important person in our disciplic succession. Important specifically both the teachings and the chanting. The teachings of a life of devotion to Krishna and how to enter, awaken and revive that life of devotion is through the chanting. So this session is taking eight, ashtakam means eight, ashta means eight, nama ashtaka, so eight prayers to the holy name, and presented by Rupa Goswami. So that's our topic, and we'll hear exactly, it's on our theme, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, we'll understand better how we can connect with Krishna. In this case, connect with Krishna in the form of his name, and that means connecting with Krishna, because the name of Krishna and the person Krishna aren't different. So we're going to hear how to connect with Krishna through these wonderful prayers of Rupa Goswami. And the plan, let's see if it works according to plan. The plan is Mukunda, and someone's going to be with you doing this, or just you? Okay. Mukunda is going to, there's different meter, so he can't really sing it. He's going to recite these eight prayers. I'll read the translation, then we'll discuss one by one. We have a tambura, a canned tambura. So Paul's going to make the magic happen, right?
Yeah.
It was happening before.
Let me try now. Nikila Shruti Mali Ratna Mala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Panka Janta Ai Mukta Kulai Rupashyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Samshayami.
Oh, Harinam. The tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of the Vedas. A little bit, not zero. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. Oh, Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. We'll get the technology together as we go along, I'm sure. So the different elements, the prayer is to the name. Oh, Harinam. So the prayer is to the name. And in poetic language, the name has form. And where there's form, there's feet to the form. And where there's feet, there's toes to the feet and the form. And there's tips of the toes. So the tips of the toes of the form of the name are worshipped by the effulgence, the radiance from the crown jewels of all the Vedas. So imagine a king has a treasury, and it's kind of like a, I don't know exactly how this connects with the crown jewels, but the crown jewels of a king is amongst all of his treasury, some are considered to be the best, superlative. Best, that's the crown jewels. And the crown jewels of the Vedas is the Upanishads. And the Upanishads have effulgence. And the effulgence of the crown jewels of all the Vedas, the Upanishads, they're worshipping the tips of the toes of the holy name. Isn't that poetically beautiful? And then the final section is, great personalities already in the liberated position, that isn't like they're trying to get there, they're there, liberated souls, like Narada and Shukadev. They eternally adore the holy name. The liberated souls eternally adore the holy name. Therefore, on the strength of those understandings and realizations, I take complete shelter of you. So it's a prayer to take shelter, and there's a reason why. It's the the name is a worthy place to take shelter. The holy name is a worthy place for taking shelter from reference to the Vedas, the effulgence of the crest jewels of the Vedas, worship, the tips of the toes of the holy name, and eternally liberated souls adore the holy name. Let me also take shelter of the holy name. So this is from the Ashtaka verses, the eight verses. It's the lead verse, and it's often quoted and much appreciated, and I personally like it very much. When we're finished with these Ashtakam verses, we're going to have a Nama Yajna. It'll go for a couple of hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. So, if you want, you can see these images or remember this is Rupa Goswami, who has received everything from Lord Chaitanya on the path of perfection, and he's sharing it in poetic language. So you can think of these poetry messages, and it may help you get immersed in the holy name. Go for a deep dive in the holy name by remembering this sound vibration from Rupa Goswami. Text number 2.
Jaya Namadeya Muni Vrinda Geya He Janaranjanaya Paramakshara Krite Tvamanadarada Pimanagudiritam Nikilokratapa Patalim Vilumpasi.
Oh, Harinam. O name sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. Now this is an essential truth or teaching or reality about the name. And the next verse connects with this one. It's speaking of Namabhas. Namabhas means the intermediate stage of chanting. So there's offensive, there's the intermediate clearing stage, and there's the pure holy name. So even if it's not the pure holy name, if one's consciousness is blurred, and not only blurred, but even disrespectfully, it's called Hela Namabhas. When people may laughingly joke about the holy name. Like there's a little story, that there's multiple versions of it, but I'll just tell one of the smaller versions. There was a question asked by Trivikram Swami at the end of one Bhagavatam class in New York. That the temple at that time was in a heavy Italian neighborhood. It was like a residential neighborhood. It wasn't like a commercial neighborhood, but it was, all around us was Italian families, old Italian families that kind of, you know, didn't really like the Hare Krishnas being right in the middle of their neighborhood. There's some stories about that. But right across the street from us was a schoolyard, a school, and in the schoolyard. So our devotees would go out on Harinam because they had to go to the subway. And on the way back, we'd come back for lunch. And during our lunch break was the kids in the schoolyard lunch break, and they would line up because there's like a 10-foot tall wrought iron fence painted black so the kids couldn't, I don't know, escape or something. And they would line up along the fence, because we were very regulated, and they were very regulated about when lunch was. So we would come back playing Radanga, Kartals, etc. And they would stand along this fence and make fun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Trivikram Swami, one morning class, he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, is that offensive? You know, every day this happens." And Prabhupada said, "No, that is very good. Because even disrespectfully, you, the holy name, at once removed the many harsh sufferings of everyone." And I have some stories about that, but let's see if there's time at the end. That's not pure, but it's elevating. It's in this Namabhas category. There's a verse in this section of the Vishnu Dutas who came to the deathbed of Ajamila, who called out his son's name, Narayana, and the agents of death, the Yamadutas, had come because he had been very sinful, but because he called the name Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas came. And the Vishnu Dutas teach this right in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1 or 2. This disrespectful chanting is very powerful. What to speak of Shuddhanam, or pure chanting, the pure holy name. And even once, we chant more than once. Every day we chant more than once, one name. But we're very covered, so we need to chant lots of names. And Rupa Goswami, is drawing from the Bhagavatam to say, even this intermediate stage of chanting is wonderful, because it can remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. So let's move along.
Yad abasho pyudyan kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo drisham tatvandanam apidishati bhakti pranayinim janastasyo datam jagati bhagavannamatarane kritite nirvaktum kaiha mahimanam prabhavati.
There's this abasa, namabas from the previous. Yad is a pronoun, that namabas chanting is being compared to the sun. Oh, sun of the holy name, even the dim light of your early dawn, namabas, devours the power of the darkness of the material world and gives those who are blind to the truth the insight to follow the path of pure devotion to Krishna. What learned person in this world can possibly fully describe your transcendental glories? What's the limit of the luminosity of the sun when even in the dim stage of twilight in the early morning hours, the power of darkness of the material world is dissipated? And those who are blind to truth can start to realize truth. And that's the truth is access to this power of bhakti. It awakens the power of bhakti within us, which then illumines truth. Truth becomes understood just through that sound vibration and the power of bhakti that's awakened by that sound vibration.
Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishtayapi vinashamayati vinana bogai apaiti nama spuranena tatte prarabdha karmeti virauti veda.
Oh, holy name, the Vedas declare that although meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, your appearance on the tongue of your chanter at once makes all karma disappear. This is also a teaching from Canto 6, Chapter 3. Canto 6, Chapter 1 through 3. The theology of the Holy Name is found in that section of Srimad Bhagavatam. But to introduce the topic, here's how the topic is introduced. The topic is introduced this way. One of the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam is the structure of the universe. A fascinating picture of cosmology, of one universe. There's many other topics, but that's one, and that's in Canto 5. And in Canto 5, it describes same thing that other religions describe. There's heaven and hell, but it gives details about the realm of heaven and even the realm above heaven in each universe. And then the middle planetary region where we are, and then the lower planetary regions that are the seven regions of hell, with names and what happens there, what's it like. And those who are destined to go to those lower regions are persons who have engaged in not just impious, but blatantly sinful activity. And that's how the fifth canto ends. So the sixth canto begins when the person who just heard all this, the king, goes, oh my gosh, such suffering. Is there, what can be done, Shukadeva Goswami, to allow people to not have to undergo so much suffering? You know, it's one of the primary questions of any theology. Theology says there's sin and the consequence of sin, and what can be done to mitigate the consequence of sin. And so the answer that Shukadeva Goswami gives is not this religion or that religion or the other religion. He doesn't give that answer. He speaks a principle that different religions embody, this principle, that principle, the other principle. So keeping it really short, because it's a long involved topic, he speaks of karmakanda. He says, when one has engaged in sin, then there's a method to counteract the reaction of sin, the process of atonement that's found in different religions, that looks in a different way, but a process of atoning for your past sins. And the king says, well, I think that's insufficient, because one can atone for the sin, but then the tendency for the sin is still there, and then the tendency for sin will come out again and they'll have the same problem again. And the speaker, Shukadeva, says, very good, I was just testing you, because I've explained this already and you heard it. And you've given me this proper response. Very good. You get an A in your exam. So what's needed in addition to atoning for sin is knowledge. Because if you know better, it will help you to not make the same mistake again. And then, well, knowledge alone is not enough either, because we also know some things and we don't do what we know. Because tendency is stronger than even what we know for conduct that's not to be done. So that's karmakanda, jnanakanda. That covers two large sections of the Vedas. What's left? And bhakti is what's left. Or upasana kanda. The crest jewel of that upasana kanda is the bhakti process, and within the bhakti process, the chanting of the holy name. The chanting of the holy name. And so the chanting of the holy name makes even the tendency for doing bad things, it takes it away. It doesn't take away free will, but it takes away the free will's tendency to choose foolishly or improperly, because the principle of bhakti is, I want to do that which is pleasing to Krishna, and here's an option that's not pleasing to Krishna, so I don't do it because it's not pleasing to Krishna. The mood of service carries one beyond one's own weaknesses. Or say the same thing a different way. There's our strength, and then there's our strength plus Krishna's strength. So that's a greater strength. So Krishna gives strength, spiritual strength, to one who truly, genuinely, sincerely wants to be in a loving relationship with him. And Krishna will help that person who wants to be in a loving relationship with him to be in a loving relationship with him. It's as little discussion I was having upstairs a while ago. It's a reciprocation. It's a reciprocation of loving exchange with he who is the source of everything, and we wish to make a connection with he who is the source of everything, and he'll help us. Starting with no extraneous effort, even the tendency to engage in trying to enjoy separately from Krishna is taken away by that loving relationship. Even the tendency is uprooted. Very powerful. So that's what this verse is saying. That there is another feature of transcendence, that's this impersonal Brahman feature, but the impersonal Brahman feature is neutral zone. It doesn't uproot the tendency. So even if you go into that neutral zone, this merging or becoming one with the supreme zone, the tendency isn't taken away, and one not only can, but one will fall down again. That's the Bhagavatam's teaching, and that's what Rupa Goswami is teaching here. So the name has greater potency than the impersonal realization, because the name is not different than the person named Krishna, and that's in next.
Agadamanaya Shoda Nandano Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe Dvai Mamarati Ruchayar Vardatam Namadeya.
Oh, holy name, I pray that my love for you in your many forms, such as Agadamana, or the crusher of Agasura, Yashoda Nandana, son of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, lotus eyed, Gopichandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, may greatly increase. He's praying for his love for Krishna in his many forms. This is the second time we're hearing, we're going to hear it even more explicitly shortly. The name has form. Now, we normally don't think of names or sound of any kind having form. But spiritual sound has form. And he's praying that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. And the names are unlimited. Namnamakari Bahuda. The names are many. And the forms are many. But the names of the form are simply indicating the pleasure pastime of Krishna with his devotees. So each of these names of the pleasure pastime of Krishna with his devotees has form and has potencies, and one can love them, the name and the form of the name. Again, remember, if you can, remember some of these prayers as we're having our Nama Yajna, and you may have a nice experience.
Vacham vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam purvasmat param eva hanta karunam tatrapi jani mahe yastasmin vihita parada nivaha prani samantad bhaved asyene damupasya sopihi sada Nandam Buddhau Majjati.
Oh, holy name, you are manifested in two forms. The Supreme Person, described by the holy name, and the sound vibration of the holy name. We know that the second form is even more merciful than the first, because although a person may commit many offenses to your first form, he will still plunge into an ocean of bliss by serving your second with his voice. Now, during one of our Festival of the Holy Name events, we learned a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that expands this one verse of Rupa Goswami into a whole song. The vacha and vachaka, those are Sanskrit terms, and they mean the form of the person and the form of the name. Now, there's similar language, different but similar, where there's nama and nami. Nama is the name and nami is the object named. So that verse from Padma Purana says, there's no difference. Abhinna, there's no difference between the sound of the name and the person named, which is not true for material sound. If I say mommy, or if I say, somebody, Sundri Radha, where is she? Is she down in the kitchen probably? So if I say Sundri Radha, so she's not present by saying her name. I may be thinking of her by saying her name, but she's not present by saying her name. And when you say chair, you can't sit on the sound because the object and the sound are different. You can say water, but it doesn't quench your thirst, but the object quenches your thirst, because the name and the object are different. But in spiritual matters, the name of the Supreme and the person named are the same. And this is saying a little further. That is, the Supreme Person described by the name and the sound vibration of the holy name. So they both have form. And of the two, the second is more merciful because you can offend Krishna and you have a big problem. But if you chant the holy name, you can go on the other side of those offenses to Krishna and experience transcendental happiness. And who is there in this world who hasn't offended Krishna? Because to take birth in the material world means we turned away from Krishna. We turned our back on the sun and found darkness. And thought we were going to find some light over here in this place of darkness. So how to get back to light? We take the name. That's the most merciful feature. Even more merciful than any other form.
Sudita-shita janarti rasaye ramyachid gana sukha swarupine nama gokula mahotsavayate krishna purna vapushe namo namaha.
Oh, perfect and complete holy name of Lord Krishna. You are the embodiment of delightful and intense spiritual bliss. You destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. And you are a festival of happiness for Gokula. I bow before you again and again. So, the nature of the soul, regardless of what species or gender or form of life or anything, we all want, every soul wants happiness, and we're looking for happiness in a place where there's no happiness. That's unfortunate. And if we look for happiness where there's the reservoir of all happiness, that's nice. Then we'll feel contented and satisfied and protected and blissful. Naturally, so from the ocean of bliss, you plunge in the ocean of bliss and it's blissful. What to speak of the sufferings of searching for happiness where there's no happiness is dissipated. It's gone. When there's light, there's no darkness. And in the spiritual realm where Krishna resides in Gokula, Krishna is the delight of all those fortunate living entities we heard about this morning from Brahma. The good fortune, amazing fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. So the holy name gives us access to all of that. He therefore is bowing before Krishna in his name again and again. This is the final. Like an ocean full of waves of nectar. If you wish, please appear constantly on my tongue along with transcendental affection for the Lord. It's a nice image that goes along with this verse. The Madhuri Puram, the place of sweetness, Madhuri. Pura means town or village or place, and Madhuri Pura, the name is such a place. And Rupa Goswami knows that the name has such sweetness. There's another very celebrated verse that comes from Didagdha Madhava, where he says like this, who can say how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced? When the name is dancing within my mouth, I desire many, many mouths. There's such nectar. So we're, most of us are not tasting that nectar. It doesn't mean there isn't nectar within the name, but we're very covered and our consciousness is not able to detect that. Is compared sometimes by our acharyas to wrapping your tongue with cotton. When you wrap your tongue with cotton and you taste something that's very tasty, the taste doesn't come through so readily because you got your tongue wrapped in cotton. There's nothing wrong with the tasty thing. It's the problem is the tongue is coated with cotton, so the taste doesn't go through so readily. But when that coating is removed, and one can taste that thing that's very, very nice, you don't want to stop tasting. In the case of the holy name, you don't get like full, I've had enough. You just want more and more and more. Recently I was asked a question similar to a question the Prabhupada was asked, so I just referred to Prabhupada's answer. The question that Prabhupada was asked was, how do I know when I'm chanting in a quality way? This was in Africa, in Nairobi. Prabhupada said, there's no question, you must. And then the person thought Prabhupada didn't understand his question, so he said, yes, Prabhupada, I know that I must, but how do I know when I'm chanting in a quality way? And Prabhupada just said it again, there's no question, you must. So Brahmananda tried, third time. He knows that he must, Prabhupada, but his question is, how will he know when he's reached that stage where it's quality? He must get there, but how does he know when he's there? And Prabhupada's answer was, there's no question. You're chanting because you're instructed to chant 16 rounds. And so you're chanting 16 rounds on the order of the spiritual master. When there's quality chanting, you're chanting because you must. When there's quality chanting, why 16 rounds? 16 million rounds. You don't want to stop. Who wants to stop? I'm going to tell a little story. Do you know where Lord Chaitanya stayed when he was in Jagannath Puri? Gambira. And where is that Gambira and what is it? The house of Kashi Mishra, right? So when King Prataparudra was requested by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, find a suitable place, O King, for Lord Chaitanya to stay, where it's close to the Jagannath temple, but at the same time it's secluded. Please find such a place. The king knew exactly what that place would be. It's the house of Kashi Mishra, which is close, but it's got a big boundary wall, and so it's secluded. And he gave him residence Kashi Mishra gave him residence in Gambira. Gambira is a local language term that's kind of like a secluded room near where the deity is worshipped. Kind of like, you know, we have a little pujari room here. So their word was Gambira. It's at the Gambira. It's a very small space. And it's secluded. It's in the interior. Those of you who have been to Gambira, it's kind of out of the way. And it's a little tiny place. And that's where Lord Chaitanya stayed. And one of the associates had a son named Gopal. And the pujari of the deity at Kashi Mishra's home had the tendency that his tongue was always chanting. So the little boy, Gopal, saw him holding his tongue as he was running to the toilet. When he came back, he asked him, "Why were you holding your tongue?" He said, "Well, because my tongue just wants to chant all the time, and I don't feel comfortable taking care of answering the call of nature while I'm chanting the holy name." So his little boy, named Gopal, said, "You don't know the glories of the holy name. The glory of the holy name is the holy name can never be contaminated. It makes even a contaminated place purified by chanting. You don't understand the glory of the name which you're unable to stop chanting." Like a little boy saying to the educated Brahmana who was constantly chanting the name. And this instruction, the little boy, was told to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya gave him the name Gopal Guru. There's more to the story. Some things happened when he grew up. Some more things. The verse from the Padma Purana that says the name and the object named are the same, part of that verse also says Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. The name is Purna Shuddho, completely pure. Nitya Mukto, eternally liberated. Abhinatvam Nama Namiyo. It has the characteristic of being non-different than the person named. So that which is Purna Shuddho can't become contaminated. We can chant Hare Krishna in a bathroom. We can't engage in deity worship in a bathroom. That's a no-no. But you can chant the holy name at any time, in any place, in any circumstance, and become purified. That's this merciful nature of the name. And the powerful nature of the name. We guard against making offense. That's important. We should know what the offenses against the chanting of the holy name are. But back to this verse. He's praying for transcendental affection along with the name constantly appearing on his tongue in this favorable mood, the affection mood. Pranaya, we heard this morning. Remember that phrase? Profound affection that Krishna may decorate you with. Or us with. The Hare Krishna mantra. So let's see if there's a, turn the lights on. See if there's some discussion. And it's now 25 after. So our Nama Yajna team probably should get ready. I don't think we're going to have 35 minutes of... You want to run the microphone around? And you can get your team ready? Nice prayers, huh? Namastaka.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, the prayers were extremely beautiful. My question is, to derive that transcendental happiness by chanting the holy names of Krishna, I need to desire for that. That's what I feel. I need to have that desire. And what I desire is generally what is in the limits of my own experiences. So I don't know what is that bliss. So how should I develop that desire?
Well, I'll go back and edit the preamble. The desire need not be, I want to experience transcendental happiness. The desire should be, I want to be in service to the name. And then the name can do with me whatever the name wants to do with me. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Not, I need to desire this transcendental bliss. Clear? And then what's the shape of service? Whatever the name wants, that's the shape. Now, and in your case, we've had some discussions about gifts that Krishna has given you and how to use those gifts that Krishna has given you and offer those to Krishna with devotion. That's a natural place to begin, of the shape of the mood of service. Strengthened by the mood of service to the name, then the mood of service of offering these gifts that Krishna has given in service to Krishna. That's where your attention should go. And therein lies transcendental happiness, the happiness of love to the Supreme, loving service to the Supreme. That's transcendental happiness. There's where it is. That's the treasure house.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, could you please share how the progression in chanting looks like for a practitioner?
Just come to one of our festivals of the Holy Name and get the whole thing A to Z. That's how to progress. You're asking in a nutshell how to progress in the chanting of the Holy Name.
No?
No.
How does it look like while I'm progressing little bit? How does it look like? What changes will observe in my chanting? Or
what are the benchmarks or measures of we're progressing?
For chanting specifically.
For chanting which kind?
For chanting only.
Yeah. For chanting only. Mood of service. And in that mode of service, that's a driver that brings attentiveness. Intention brings attention. So a measure is attention. But what drives attention is intention. The intention is service. Because that's who we are. At least philosophy says we're tiny servants of the Supreme. So that's discovering who you are through that intention of being in service to the Supreme. And then in that mood, you'll be attentive instead of inattentive. And there's different ways that that attentiveness can look like. But that's the measure. Okay? Anyone else? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Maharaj, you had used the word upasana.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little more on the meaning and the application and what should I do to keep that word in mind?
What should you do to keep that?
Yes, to keep that in my mind when I am doing my sadhana every day.
Well, upasana means worship. And so there's different types of worship. So there's karmakanda, jnanakanda, and upasanakanda. The section of the Vedas that deals with worship, and then the topmost form of worship described in Bhagavad Gita is worship Krishna. Yad karoshi yad asnasi yad jahosi dadasi yad yad tapasyasi kunteya tat karasha mad arpanam. Worship me by those methods. So, worship Krishna. So how to stay fixed in the worship of Krishna? Well, it starts with the holy name. And the mood of being in service to the holy name results in awakening of the natural desire to be in service to Krishna. And in service to Krishna, you worship Krishna with whatever you have, whatever you do, whatever you give away, whatever austerity you do. You do that as a form of worship of Krishna. So it starts with the name. And the manner in which, the quality with which, the attentiveness with which you are engaged in the chanting of the name. It's the root of how to remain mindful of upasana towards Krishna in everything that we do. Okay.
Thank you.
Guru Maharaj, when you were mentioning about the Tatya Anukampam verse, that it's describing the procedure in one sense of how to approach, connecting that with the chanting, this aspect of earnestly awaiting the mercy
with
of...
With the aspect of?
Earnestly awaiting the mercy.
Earnestly awaiting the mercy. Okay.
If you can elaborate a little more in connection with chanting.
Earnestly awaiting the mercy when it comes to chanting.
And how do we develop that kind of...
Well, it's a matter of patience. That is to say, modern life has taught us impatience. Because we're accustomed to instant gratification. And there's many examples of it. And people become addicted to instant gratification and impatient if instant gratification doesn't take place, and totally distracted by something that requires sustained attention, because the mind is going and going and going and going, because we're stimulated like that. Without so many examples. But as an educator, I'm sure you know. Younger generation people have a shorter attention span about anything. And so media is designed and everything is designed because attention span is so short. So how it connects? Patience. And in that patience, Krishna will reciprocate however Krishna reciprocates in whatever time frame Krishna does it. But I have faith in Krishna, so that's the sustaining factor. Faith in Krishna in the process of connecting with him, since that's how it connects with the name. It's the most important element in making our Krishna connection. So I'm very patient. I mean, in spiritual practice, we must learn patience. Patience doesn't mean relax. Patience just means the result may take some time. Because we're very covered. One more question, we're going to close up.
Hare Krishna. Knowing this Namastaka and understanding the potency of Harinam, I feel really blessed and grateful that I'm introduced to this. But just want to understand, how do we continue being grateful in the walk of life? What are the practical steps that we can take?
Well, how can we not continue to be grateful?
I absolutely understand.
Well, you know, if you don't recognize the gift that you've been given, it's easy to not be grateful. If it's selfish, it's easy to not be grateful. But when something has touched your heart, it's really easy to be grateful. So then open the heart and let it touch your heart, and not just one time, but continuously. And so open your heart. Well, how do you open your heart? You know, understand there's something that's more meaningful than the short term. You know this Shreyas and Prayas? You know that phrase? So if we look to the long-term purpose of our human life, what's our mission of this human form of life? And it's not the short-term, it's the long-term. Then one can be very patient to reach there because it's long-term. And I make sacrifices to get to that long-term because it's so worthy. What's next? What are we doing?